A lot of people in my generation want to sell this other generation off and not give them a chance. But I stand here and to tell you that I believe that if those people that knew us in the yesterdays, I don't know what the deacon's name were, where you all went, but those that were there where I was attending, Deacon Jackson, Deacon Henry Fuller, Deacon Nelson Gray, Deacon Will Henry, they probably would have sold us off. Or if I'd come to Macedonia, I'd say Deacon C.P. Randolph or Deacon Tillis Matthews or Deacon Ed Hill, I would write us all, some of us off. But they did not write us off. They made deposits. And that's what we need to do with our generation, is make deposits within them. And they're going to look at you like they're not paying any attention to what you said. But just keep telling them anyhow. Amen. You just remember how you did those people and you planted a crop, and so now you have to harvest it. For our subject today, rising up from defeat. Defeats are going to come in our life. Somewhere I read that the only people that don't make mistakes and mess up are those people that do nothing. If you are busy doing things, you are going to make mistakes. And they don't have to be intentionally. And you can make mistakes, mess up, and do wrong. Some people will say you can't sin and not know you're sinning, but sometimes something just slip up on you, and you know it. In this passage of scripture, and a little background of it, Joshua was born a slave at the time that Israel was enslaved in Egypt. But then God sent a man by the name of Moses, who had been born also a slave and had lived in Pharaoh's house and had committed a sin because he saw something that he did not like and he did something about it, and he was cast out. And if you watch the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston in it, they will show you where they put Moses on a chariot and rode him out to the end of the world, as far as the Greeks were concerned. Read your Bible. Moses left in a hurry because he had killed an Egyptian because he was beating up a slave, and he had to get out of there. Most of you probably don't know what that is, to do something and have to leave in a hurry, but you may do that sometime or other. And Moses had to leave there. But then Moses stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. And then he was doing his thing as shepherding people and thinking that's all he's going to do. And he looked up one day and he looks up and he sees a burning bush. And he looks at the bush, keeps looking over in the direction that the bush is, and it seemed to never be consumed. And God had gotten his attention because it said, Moses decided to turn aside and go see what it is. God got some burning bushes in your life, and you need to turn aside and see what the bush is about. And Moses finds where the bush is, and it's not consumed. And when he was there, he got close enough to it, and God told him to take off his shoes. For the ground you stand on is holy ground. And God talked to Moses, and then Moses went on down into Egypt. That's where they get the song from, say, tell O Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses went down there, and the children of Israel were delivered. Long story short, they were delivered. 10 plagues come on. Then they get to going across there and going where God has sent them. And they wouldn't do right, so it took them longer to get there than it should have. Have you ever been there? God have you to do something and you want to do it your way. You want to go to Burger King. You want to have it just like you want it. But see, God got some things that's going to be done just the way he wanted to be done. May take you another time around the mountain. They did a 11-day journey in 40 years. You've been on yours 25, you got 15 more to go. But if you stay with God, everything will be all right. They got to where God wanted them to be. And Moses died. And before Moses died, he put Joshua in charge. Said, God said, you are the man, and so to speak. And so Joshua was going to lead the people. Moses had him fixed up because God had picked him. When God picks somebody, they are there to stay. Then they got to going and they came to a place where they was getting ready to cross the River Jordan. And the Bible says the river was full and they had to cross and they had no other way to cross. Didn't have the Titanic and all those other great big ships. So they had to get across the river, and God told them, said, tell the priest to get the Ark of the Covenant. Rising up after defeat, said, tell them to start walking across the river. And said, when their feet touched the water would part. I've forgotten how many furlongs it said it is, but I remember one time when I preached about this before, it said they backed up so many furlongs. And it told how far it is. It's 1/8 of a mile as far as it backed up. And I got in my car and I drove from out here. And if you're familiar with Crestview, if you're taking turn on McClellan, go all the way down McClellan, all the way till you get to Duggan's. Turn left on Duggan and go to that first branch on Duggan. That's about 1/8 of a mile. He said, that's how far the water backed up. And that's how close the people could come to the ark. Dude, can you imagine just because men do what God said do? Help me, Holy Ghost. If you just do like he tell you to do, everything will be all right. Might not look like it or it might not seem like it, but if you're obedient to the word of God, everything will be all right. So they did that. And what I'm trying to do now, I'm trying to get you to a place where you get to where I am with this, where God done bless you with so many things. And when one little thing happened, you stay right there. How many of you got a bad incident in your life that you can just pull up anytime you want? That's defeat. But you can't remember all the good things that God done for you. I know grammatically that might not be right, but he done already done more for you than you can imagine. God has been good to you. But what they was doing, they were trying to get you to a place where you see where God can do great things for you. He parted the river to let them cross. Then they got over there and Jericho was a walled city. He told them, said, tell you what I want you to do. I want you to march around the city. Don't say anything. On Monday, you go one time. On Tuesday, you go two times. And on until you get to seven times. And don't say nothing. And I believe to me, I'm not going to put this on y'all. I was thinking about me walking around the walls of Jericho. And you can't talk. But you just got to walk. Because you're being obedient to God. They walked around there until they got until the seventh day. And then he said, go seven times. And then shout. And the wall come tumbling down. All this had happened. But then something else happens to you. And this is where we are here today. Right now, chapter 7. The wall of Jericho fell in Joshua chapter 6. Now we are in chapter 7. The agony of defeat. Defeat will take you to a place where you do not want to go. Point number one. Each one of these points I have, I got three. I guess I got three in a closing. Each one of these points here, I had Joshua's name, but I substituted my name. Dwight must stop questioning God's character. We have a tendency to want to question God's character, especially after we have been defeated. We need to not do that. I read to you chapter verses 1 through 7. But I want you to look at all the rest of that, this passage with me, if you will. In this passage, when something goes wrong, we got to have somebody to blame. Because we will not blame ourselves. We got to blame somebody else. So Joshua is doing what thus saith the Lord. And so therefore, they had, you heard the passage that I read to you, where they went up to Ai with 2,000 or 3,000 people, and they took a licking. They took a whooping, because I believe you can't. Joshua sent people there to look out, but he did not talk to God about what you're going to do. Before you make any decisions about doing stuff, you ought to talk to God. Because you need to know that what you're doing is okay with God. Joshua blamed God because they want a mission to do what thus saith the Lord. And so therefore something negative happened because they did not do it right. If you talk with God, and God will provide just what you need. So you need to make sure that God is in whatever you are going to do. Don't blame God. And I said earlier in when I was talking earlier, the least thing that happened to us that's bad, it stands out more than anything else. Look what God had done for them. Had sent Moses down to Egypt, and he brought them out free. They went in free, and they come out free. But only about 70 to 75 went in. Better than 2.5 million come out, but they come out free. God sent Moses to bring them out of Egypt. You find that in Exodus chapter 3, where God had them brought out of Egypt and they were free. And after going out 2 or 3 days, they came to something called the Red Sea. Pharaoh behind them and the sea in front of them. Then they start complaining again to Moses. You brought us out here and we're going to die. But then God, in paraphrasing her up and getting to it, so God said, Moses, what you got in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, stretch it out. Moses was obedient to God and stretched it out, and God made a highway just like that through the Red Sea. So all of those people could walk across. See, God, when something bad happened to you, God done already blessed you numerous a time before, and we hurry up and forget that. He opened the Red Sea, and they walked across the Red Sea. Then they got over there on the other side, and they start mumbling and grumbling, wishing they were back in Egypt so they could eat fish and cucumbers sitting around the pot. And then God blessed them. He starts sending down bread from heaven. Bread from heaven, feed me until I want no more. Every morning, go out, pick up enough to eat for the day. And can't you just hear Jesus reciting the model prayer in the New Testament? Just enough bread for today. That's all they could pick up. And when you pick up that, God's still blessing you. It's going to be there every day, every morning when you go out. God bless you to be like that. He sent the manna down. You can find that in chapter 16 of Exodus. Then they go a little farther and they get thirsty. They want some water. They don't have any water. They start to drink water out of the creek, and it's bitter water. God told Moses to have them to cut down a tree and let the tree fall in the water, and then let them drink the water. See, God provides just what you need whenever you need. One of the point I'm trying to get you to see is whatever you need, God got it. So what you need to do is just constantly praise God for wherever you are, whatever situation you're in. If you praise God for where you are, God will bless you, and where you are won't seem so bad. God's a good God, and God won't ever change. And then I told you about leading them across Jericho. I mean, to lead them across the river Jericho and Jericho, the wall of Jericho falling. But see, God does things for us. But now, after this one defeat, Joshua and the rest of them blame God. Don't look at nobody else, but let me ask you a question. What have you had to happen in your life that you think that's not good? Don't blame God. Don't blame God. Just praise God right where you are. And I just believe if you want to make the devil mad and he think he got you, just throw up both hands and grit your teeth and close your eyes and just start praising God. God, I know I've done something to get myself in this position. But God, I thank you for where I am right now. I thank you that things are no worse than what they are. I could be on my bed of affliction, God, but you bless me. I messed up, God, but you bless me anyhow. I'm in this situation, God, but I'm not going to take my eyes off of you. I know you didn't bring it, but you'll get me through it. If we get that attitude, then God will bless you and he'll help you to rise up from defeat. You said, Baggett, you don't know the pain that I'm going through. You don't know how I feel. No, I don't. But I know Dr. Jesus, and he's all right. Have you tried him? If you try Jesus, everything will be all right. Everybody else may turn their back on you and leave you, but if you try Jesus, everything will be all right. See, God love you so much. Lord, I know I got you in the Old Testament, but I got to take you to John 3:16. For I said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, Lord, I thank you for whosoever shall believe shall be saved. I'm glad that God didn't leave me. I'm glad that he loved me enough to send his only begotten son. I'm talking about rising up from defeat. I thought about those little kids that were doing devotion down here this morning. They can rise up. If they thought they didn't do well, all they got to do is just keep trusting in God. May recite the model prayer, but recite the model prayer. Thank you, Lord. I remember a day at Crestview High School, sometime between 1987 and 1993, we had a racial fight in the school, and I had some of my buddies, about six or seven of them in rooms. I went in my office, and I closed the door, and I turned my chair around to the wall, and I sat right in the chair, and I looked at the wall, and I just said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I prayed that prayer for as long as I stayed in that office. And then when I went out the office, I went in this door and I said, you got 10 days. I went in the next door. I said, you got 10 days. And I did like that all the way down. I gave every one of them 10 days. And then when they come back, they said, B, said, why'd you give us all 10? I said, because all of you were doing the same thing. You were fighting and I told you not to fight. But see, when you trust in God, everything will be all right. Didn't look at no rule book, just trusted in God. When you trust in God, God supersedes any rule books you got. See, now listen, that was a bad incident at Crestview High School. If I stayed there and looked at that, I wouldn't have had a good tenure there, but I didn't stay there. I stepped a little farther and I said, God, you've been good to me. I'm not going to let this mar me. But when you trust in God, you don't need to stay where you were defeated. You need to leave from where you were defeated, because where you were defeated, God got something better for you. All you got to do is step and pray. Step and pray. When you step and pray, oh no, that might be backwards. You might ought to pray and then step. Because if you pray, God will order your steps. See, God is a good God. See, when we get to thinking about the things that's bad in our life, just reminisce about how good God is to you. I look out and I look at you. Don't any of you look like you need anything? God done bless you We don't want to recognize God as blessing us with the things of necessity. There's some people that don't have a bed to lay in. And most of you, thank God that things are as well as they are. And if you trust in God, you won't be able to remember the negative things. But you got to trust in it. You got to trust in it. Point number two. Dwight must stop focusing on this one defeat. Now listen, time out. When you writing your notes, don't put my name there. You put your name there. You put your name there so you'll know that that's you. What we need to do is think of the blessings that we already have. There's a blessing I hadn't thought about until just now. The blessings of having the parents that God allowed me to have. The blessing of living in the time that He allowed me to live. The blessings of going through what He had me to go through, and I didn't know He was in the making. That's a blessing. We forget the little things. We only think of big things, and defeat in our lives is a big thing, and it does not need to be a big thing. For defeat means that you got to rise up. If you rise up, everything will be all right. Then we need to think of the blessings of the future. God promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He said, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. God have never lied. He may not have blessed you with what you thought that you should have had. But if you trust in Him and you follow Him, He'll bless you with what you need. God promised Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you. When he left the land of Ur, he said, go to a land I'll take. And he saw it going, he stopped. But then God had him to go on and continue. Abraham went to where God told him to go. When you're obedient to the word of God, God will bless you because you're putting your trust and your faith in Him. Some of us are not blessed any more than we're blessed because we won't sell out to God. Thank you, Lord. I know why I didn't say this morning in Sunday school, because there wasn't enough of y'all here to hear me say it. Some more of you here now to hear me say it. God has put it in my spirit. We are doing, and I said me, a lousy job at pastoring this church. Let me tell you why. Because we do not have enough people that's willing to make a decision and make a commitment to do what they need to do for God. Young people show up for Sunday school, we don't have nobody to teach them. Let me do it. We don't have nobody to teach them. Because all of us want to wait till it's 11 o'clock. Not 11 o'clock, 11:15, 11:30. We want to wait till the end to come. No. If you want a blessing, you bless somebody else. Somebody taught you, so you ought to teach somebody else. And oh, I know what you're going to say right now. Well, everybody can't teach. No, you might not sure can, but you can be there to help somebody else, make them sit down and be quiet. You're missing your blessing because you have something that has been deposited within you and you won't take and deposit it in somebody else. Uh-huh. Well, Baggett, you don't stop preaching now and start meddling. Okay. But I'm truthful. We need to be here so we can instruct. Because when they stood up here this morning, they'll have a little more confidence. The confidence that they pick up is when they look out there and they see some adult that they know. Yeah, uh-huh. And you don't have to know them all by name, because I get all these names mixed up, because most of them not named Mary and Tom and Jack. And I get all of them mixed up, but they know who I be talking about. And while I'm there, and I'm going to get back to my message, there's something else called mentors. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. They need them from all the schools in Crestview. I told y'all the other week, I've done it for the last 20 years, and I missed last year. And I took a whooping for about 4 or 5 months, and I got tired of God whooping me, so I'm back mentoring. And since I've started back going mentoring, I sleep a lot better. My wife gonna find that hard to believe, but I do. I sleep a lot better. I don't wake up at night in the morning wondering if I ought to go. I just know I'm gone. You got to help. You got to do what God have deposited in you, and you can't stay at a defeat. Once you get defeated, you got to get up. I don't like this team, but they did a good thing. Who's that? Didn't somebody beat Alabama this year? But that other team that they played the next week paid for it, didn't they? They paid for it the next week because I think they whooped them 59 to nothing. So see, they didn't stay at defeat. They rose up. And that's what you got to do when negative things happen to you. Okay, I'm coming back. God had given them some promises, and they had forgotten the promise because they had been defeated one time. They went up to Ai with about 3,000 men, and then they took a licking. They took a whooping. They whipped because somebody in the camp had done something wrong. Uh-huh. Yeah. Sometimes you can't be blessed because you've done something wrong. Sometimes you get defeated because you've done something that you should not have done. And when they found out what had been wrong, Achim had stolen something, had gotten something. God told him, "You don't bring anything. Don't take anything." See, when we see stuff laying around, and nobody else is there, and it's just going to be laying out in the waste, you want to get it. God said, "Don't bring anything back." They were disobedient. Just one family in the whole camp was disobedient, and everybody paid for it. Well, look, think about you. Adam sinned. Uh-huh. Yeah. And you got it too. Because he's your father. You inherited it from. So you see, when things are messed up and there's a defeat, you can come up from defeat. But you got to not stay there. If you stay, defeat will allow you to stay in there if you want to. It loves to hold you there, and it will hold you there if you allow it to. God told them that they were going to be a great nation. This is promises of the future, and he gave Moses a promise at the burning bush. He said, "Go down there and tell them I said, let my people go." And Moses was obedient to what God said, so God then in turn did what he said. God would do what he said. He said he'll bring you out of wherever you are, and you won't ever have to go through anything by yourself. You always got somebody with you. God will be with you with whatever you're doing, but you need to be right in what you're doing. Don't go down there and rob a bank and think God's going to be with you when you're robbing a bank. He's not there. He'll be with you after they punish you. After you get disciplined in jail, he'll be with you. If you do wrong, he's with you then too, because you're going to get caught. So you don't do wrong. Just stay with him, and if you do what's right, God's going to bless you. And because you do what's right, it doesn't mean trouble sometime is not going to come your way. But when it does, you can stand flat-footed and look at it straight in the eyes and say, "Bring it on." Because where I stand on solid ground. And when you're standing on Christ, everything will be all right. God made a promise to Joshua over in chapter 1 of Joshua. He said, go and do and be encouraged, of good courage. Courage is going ahead in spite of the fear. You're going to have fear when you try to do something new. When you go to that job interview for that job, you might have some fear, but you go anyhow. You pray before you go, you pray you're going, and you pray while you're in the interview. But you're going, the courage is going ahead, not allowing the fear to make you stop. Fear will rise up in you anytime you start to do something new. Most of you probably been watching the news, and you know the Y here closed, and I had to find a new place to exercise. And I went to the new place to exercise. I'm saying, oh, man, I don't want to go here. I don't know anybody here. And I got to go in here. And after I got in there, walked in the door, looked over there on the treadmill, I knew that one. Looked over there on the machine, I knew that one. I was fearing about nothing. If I would have allowed my fear, and y'all can look at me funny if you wanna, but it's of doing something new and different at a place that I'm not familiar with. But if I would have stayed there on a morning like when it gets cold, I can't stand cold. I can go walk outside at the park when it's 75 degrees, but if it get below 75, I can't do it. I can't do it. So I got to find some place where I can go and be inside. Fear comes on us, but if we stay there, that's when it has you defeated. You must go ahead in spite of the fear that you feel because of who the one that you're trusting in. God got something better for you when you go ahead and when you go in spite of the fear that you feel. The third day there, just like I'd been there going there every day all my life, fearing about nothing. And it's the same way when you're doing stuff with God. Trust in God and not in yourself. You can't do it. In spite of the blessings and promises that God have made to us, we still focus on the defeat. I don't know why it is, but the negative things that have happened to us in our lives are a whole lot bigger than the positive things that have happened to us in our lives. You go for this interview, you get turned down, okay? And all that's telling you, you take what you find out what you did wrong here, and you apply it when you go to the next one, and you go there. Most of us, if not all of us, have received more N-O's than we have yeses. Mm-hmm, you too. You just might not be willing to admit it. But all of us, because you were looking for that one yes. I know this is not going to happen. All my sisters, close your ears. Brothers, how many of them did you ask on a date and they said no? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. And the one that you married, the first one you ask her on, she probably said no. Don't raise your hand. But that didn't stop you, did it? You just kept right on going. Because number one, you're not looking for no. You're looking for yes. So you keep going until you get what you're looking for. That's the way it is with God. If you keep pressing your way in front of God, God's going to bless you with what you need. What you asking him for, because if you keep asking him, he's going to see the sincereness of your heart. If you don't mean it, you're going to ask one time. She said no, you're going to say forget that. You won't ask her anymore. But if you're serious, you'll keep asking her. You'll keep asking. And you say, well, she turned me down 15 times. I'm looking for number 16. You keep going because you have to show that. Well, Paul said, I got this thorn in my side, and thrice I've been to God. and it's still there. But then he said something else too. He said, God said, my grace is sufficient. See, some things you just gotta stay there and you just gotta go through. And you trust in God that it's gonna be okay. And when you're trusting in God, God does not have to get your permission for you to go through something for him. Some of you in something now, and you don't know why you're there, but you're there. Look at, if you will, and this is Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Talks about how we must forget this defeat and expect victory. Forgetting those things which are behind me and pressing forward. Don't look back. Who was that? Nat King Cole sung a song a long time ago, Looking Back. If you keep looking back, you're going to run into something. And it's going to be trouble because you can't see where you're going. Keep looking ahead. Keep your eyes focused on Christ. And then there will be no surprises. When your eyes are focused on Christ, you're not looking behind. You're not looking at defeat. If you have been defeated, defeat is behind you. It's not in your future. It's in your past. So God is going to take you to the future for what he has for you. So he does not intend for you to stay in defeat. Joshua had to rise up from defeat because he had been defeated at Ai and he was blaming God. So therefore he said to stop blaming God and he had to focus. He had to stop focusing on that one defeat. If Joshua would have kept focusing on that one defeat, they never would have conquered the lands that they conquered. Forgetting those things which are behind me, forgetting them. I said last Sunday, I think this was in the message I preached last Sunday. Forgetting in God's word does not mean he chooses to not remember it. It just means he's not going to bring it up to you. See, you can't find where God brought up to Paul what he had done. But Paul brought it up. You will bring up your sins to God. He's not going to bring them up to you. Because that's what he does. He's good at forgiveness. And we need to become more like him, forgetting those things which are behind us. Point number three. Dwight must stop worrying about, and this is the one I really love, this one right here, public opinion. Don't worry about public opinion. For he said in verse 9 of this chapter, he said, Joshua. Oh, that was yesterday. Joshua chapter 20. I think that's where we are, right? Well, see, y'all got to keep me straight. I'm glad y'all listening. Look at chapter 9, verse 9. For the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it. See, Joshua is worrying about what other people that they're going to fight are going to hear about, how Ai whipped, beat up on them, and so they're not going to have a whole lot of respect for them. No, don't worry about that. I got it. Don't worry about it. God got it. And he was worried. He had a good thing in mind. He was worrying about, as far as God was concerned, he did not want them to do something that was going to throw bad vibes towards God. For instance, you a Christian, you don't need to go out here with your Macedonian Missionary Baptist Church shirt on and rob the bank. You don't need to do that. That's going to throw a bad light on God. So, and this is what he's saying, because this happened to us, it's going to make them think bad towards you. Nah, don't worry about God's reputation. God's reputation is good enough to stand anything that you're going to do, but you just need to make sure what you do is going to represent God in a good light. God can take care of his own reputation. God's reputation will go a lot farther than Joshua can take it, because Joshua can only go so far as God would let him go. And God will lift up his people no matter how bad they seem to be. When you trust and depend on God, he will lift you up from the defeat that comes in your life. Every one of us have defeats that come in our lives, but you cannot stay there. You need to come up from that. You need to rise up from the ashes and erect a wonderful fountain, a wonderful place, a wonderful tabernacle for God, because you are that tabernacle, and you need to represent God the way God would have you to represent him, and you be a good example because you are doing what thus saith the Lord. Yes, you are going to have defeats in your life, but you don't have to stay down. You can knock me down, but I'm going to get back up. You're going to have to keep knocking me down. I think about a comic strip that used to be in the paper in the yesterdays, a boxer named Joe Palooka. They would beat him up all the time. He was on comic and bubblegum wrappers. He'd get beat up in every fight, but in the 15th round, he'd still be standing and he'd win. That's the way you need to be. You don't need to let, because you get defeated, it keeps you down. Yes, I'm sick and I'm on my bed of affliction. I'm not going to quit trusting in God, because he said he would not leave me nor forsake me. And he also said, all sickness is not unto death. Whatever happens to me, God can get me through it if I do my part. I don't need to stay in defeat. I need to stay with God, because he is a victorious God. He is not a yesterday God. He is a God of now and of today. So we need to stay with him, and no matter what happens to us, we need to rise up. Yes, I'm down today, but I'm not going to stay down. We fall down. Who's that? Donnie McClurkin. We fall down, but we get up. The believers are supposed to be resilient, and because you know that the world is against you. Satan is going to do everything he can to keep you down. So you need to stay up. You need to be geared for the fight. The fight's for 15 rounds. You need to be prepared to go for 16, because there is always a chance that you're going to win. And you need to cheat anyway. You need to go back and read the last book of the Bible, where it said the believers are going to win. The believers are going to win. Might not look like it right now, but believers are going to win. Everything that may seem to think that can go wrong might go wrong. But believers are going to win. And all you got to do is finish reading the book of Joshua in the Old Testament and the Bible, and you'll find out that Joshua did rise up, and he did do what thus saith the Lord. I don't remember right now whether this was before or after this. I think it was after, when he was battling with somebody and the sun was about to go down. Joshua stopped and started praying, and God let the sun stand still. See, when you can't stay in defeat, as long as God is in it, you can also win. When you're standing with God, you can come up from defeat. All you got to do is just not give up. Get knocked down, but get up again. You will rise again. You remember Jesus, don't you? On the day of crucifixion, when they took him off the cross, and they carried and put him in a borrowed tomb. And they borrowed tomb, they sealed it up. They thought they had him, but in defeat, there is victory. If you stay with God, there is victory on the other side. On this side, may look like I'm defeated. When they closed up the cave where they had Jesus' body in, they thought they had won. Said, seal it up and put up a guard so they won't come and steal the body. See, that's in defeat. All Christians at that time were defeated. But early, bright early Sunday morning, Jesus that went in the grave, a dead man, he stepped out alive. He went in on crucified ground. He stepped out on resurrection ground. See, there is victory in defeat. You can't stay defeated. And I'm glad you asked. I heard you. You said, why bag it? Because Jesus died, and bright early Sunday morning, he rose and stepped out on resurrection ground, and he said he was risen with all power in his hand, not some power. He came back from defeat, y'all. He was defeated according to man. But now they wondering, when is he coming back? If he did what he said he was going to do. He told them, say, you can tear down this temple, and in 3 days I'll build it again. He did that. I don't know what they're thinking about now. He said he was coming back. I wonder if he's coming back. I can answer it for him. If he did what he said before, he'll do it again. Way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 or 16, he said a woman would give birth to a child. A virgin would be born, would give birth, and it happened. And then he said he was going away for 3 days and 3 nights as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. So shall I be. He did that too. He stepped out on resurrection ground. And you gonna tell me that a man that would do all of that can't keep his word? He'll keep his word. He's coming back after being defeated by man. But he was defeated by man. He wasn't defeated by God. It was in victory. There's a song, Victory in Jesus. You got to do it. You got to know that in defeat there is victory. But you got to hold to God's unchanging hand. We shall rise again, even though may look like we are defeated, but we will rise again. The church is not dead. Don't let somebody tell you that the church is dead, because the church is in you. Don't allow defeat to linger. Get up, brush yourself off, go take a bath, and go to the house. Go to the house of God. Brothers and sisters, there is victory in what we call defeat. And you can rise from defeat. You just have to make up your mind that you're not going to stay in defeat. You will not be defeated. A seed that's put into the ground, that seed must die before it can reproduce. And in death, it is reproduced. And it will produce more than what went in the ground. One little kernel of corn goes in the ground and brings up a stalk. A stalk may have 6 or 7 ears of corn. Each one of those ears of corn has so many kernels in them. Each one of those kernels have so much life in them. Yeah. Uh-huh. You are the kernel of corn that is put into the ground. You must tell somebody about this saving grace of God. What do you mean? No, you die to yourself. I say that. I know I say it every first Sunday. You must die to yourself. In order for this Christianity to become alive, you can't do the things of the world. That's when you are dying to yourself. You probably wanted to. There was someplace else you could have been this morning, but because of the part of you that have died, said you come here. Because that part of you is reproducing. And you might not think so now, but it's reproducing. That's why you saw them up here this morning and see them over here today. Depositing seeds, and part of you are dying. Those people that directors and Miss Sister Tony and Linda and Sister Betty and all those that work with them on Wednesday nights, I feel sorry for them. Because all that energy running around here is rambunctious as you've ever seen. But they are making deposits. They are dying to themselves. They could be home resting, because both of those two, they work with them all day long anyway. But But you're going to see the production. You're going to see a fruit. You must die to yourself and don't stay in defeat. You can rise up from defeat. We're extending the invitation. If you don't know Jesus, this is your time. You can come to Christ just as you are. You don't have to change anything. Just change the decision that you've made. You need to make a decision that you want to follow Christ. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are in defeat right now. If you want to rise up out of defeat, you commit your life to Christ. Didn't say if your name wasn't on the church roll. But if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior personally, it's a personal relationship that you have with Christ. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Come to Christ just as you are. He'll take you in all your defeat as well. Will you come? Will you come? God bless you. Amen.